The Marion Finucane Show on RTE Radio 1 with Hyundai. Now offering 5 years free servicing on every new 142 Hyundai. Ireland's fastest growing car brand.
Welcome back to the programme. Now, a lot of people really appreciated Linda Tirado's interview. Her book is called Hand to Mouth, The Truth About Being Poor in a Wealthy World. Caller said, a wonderful interview. We are so judgmental of the poor. Another, Linda's a breath of fresh air, smoke or no smoke. Great to hear someone tell it as it is. Am I glad I live in Ireland? Much and all as we complain, says Anne in Beara. And another saying, every word that Linda's saying is true. A glimpse of the future, she says. Well, I hope we won't go ahead. Hope we'd be heading away from what she was talking about for most people. Now, I have been joined by my colleague, Brian Dowling.
Good afternoon, Marion.
You're on at 1.
We are on at 1 o'clock, Marion.
Yeah, what are you doing today?
Oh, I think one of the big issues for us today will be the water. Water charges,
water,
all the
water, everywhere.
Water, Irish water, all the complaints about Irish water. And no longer just complaints from the public or the opposition. Government TDs are now wading into this as well.
Some ministers, pardon the pun.
Indeed. And we'll have Minister Alex White with us. We'll have Mary Lou MacDonald, the Sinn Féin deputy leader. We'll have Paul Murphy, who won that by-election in Dublin South West on the anti-austerity platform. Former Minister Alan Dukes. And we'll also have Noel Whelan, barrister and political analyst, joining us as well. So it'll be water, the fallout from the budget, and we'll pick up on some of the other issues as well that are topical.
Okay. And we'll be listening. Okay.
Brian,
Marion, thank you very, very much indeed. That's Brian Dowling at 1 o'clock after our own programme. And good to see you. Now I'm going to move along on another topic. And Enda Wiley is with us in studio. Now, Enda, you've been in with us before, mainly talking about books, but books for adults, that is. And you are a poet, a teacher and a children's author. And you're now going to talk about how you get kids to read and to like books, because there's a special month on.
Oh, that's right, Marion. Yeah, this month is the October Book Fest, arranged by Children's Books Ireland. So it's a month of huge amount of activities going on throughout the country, libraries and different venues. So it's fantastic. And I must say, it's brilliant to arrive here today with the Beano in my hand.
Gosh.
And loads of brilliant books here.
I haven't seen a Beano for years.
Oh,
is it on the go again?
It is still on the go. Well, I have to say, we were encouraged in our house by my own father, who'd read it when he was a kid. So now my nine-year-old daughter reads it too. And she said that I am to mention the Bash Street Kids, because she really loves it. Somebody gave it to her as a subscription for her birthday.
What a lovely idea,
yeah.
As a present.
And I mean, I think we're talking about books and how do you get reluctant readers to read, children. I think the Beano is a fantastic way of doing it. Children love fun, they love excitement, yeah. They love adventure.
I remember there used to be a big debate about comics.
Yeah.
And that you should be reading good quality stuff.
Yeah.
And that you wouldn't get quality stuff in comics and so on.
Well,
and
I think
so
you
forth.
Had loads of good quality in the Beano. In fact, I think one of the big things is, I think my daughter in this instance saw me getting such great crack out of the Beano. She was reading herself, getting great crack. And I think when it comes to children and books, you can't have a snob value. You have to just be interested in what they're interested in. If they're into dinosaurs and you're not, let them read books about dinosaurs. If they're into pirates, let them read. Somebody said coming in, if they're into makeup, buy them a book about makeup and let them read up on it. So as long as they're reading, that's the main thing. But what do you do with a child who wants to sit there and just watch TV? Other things as well can occur. But I mean, in my own house, so I have that same dilemma. But I think really reading yourself, and if your child sees you flopped on a sofa and not looking at a tablet or an iPad or a phone and actually reading and laughing and, you know, talking about books in the home. I know we all lead extremely busy lives,
yeah.
And it can be very tricky. You know, I mean, I'm a mother as well, and I teach and do loads of different things, and I know what it's like, people dropping kids off to creche and all that kind of stuff and getting home late. But I just think, like, having a general enthusiasm for books, if you can, in the house is a great way. And also, you and I are chatting away here. I think using your voice and reading out loud to your child. I mean, at bedtime is a fantastic time where you can snuggle down with your child and read a book. And the more you read to them, the more they're going to get really into a story and want to keep reading. I brought along a piece from one of my favourite stories, and I will just read this, because I think if a child hears this kind of stuff, they're going to want to hear more. So if you read something like this,
okay.
Mr. Twit was one of these very hairy-faced men. The whole of his face, except for his forehead, his eyes and his nose, was covered with thick hair. The stuff even sprouted in revolting tufts out of his nostrils and ear holes. Mr. Twit felt that this hairiness made him look terrifically wise and grand. But in truth, he was neither of these things. Mr. Twit was a twit. He was born a twit. And now, at the age of 60, he was a bigger twit than ever. So that's the genius of Mr. Dal. And there are no rules for reading and there are no rules for writing books for children either. Who would have thought that a book about a 60-year-old man and his wife who absolutely hate each other would be a brilliant story for children?
Right.
So you start off with a story like that and children are immediately dragged in.
What do you think of books on tape?
I think audio is absolutely fantastic. In the case of, for instance, you know, Roald Dahl himself.
Roald Dahl,
you can get,
I'm thinking about audio
of him reading.
Yeah.
Simon Callow, the actor, actually reads the twits absolutely fantastically. So if you are exhausted at the end of the day, just putting it on is a great way of doing it. Also, I think that stories can happen throughout the day. So if your child is at home, you know, just home from school, wrecked, eating its afternoon food or whatever, having snacks.
Perfect,
shove on,
broccoli.
Shove on the audio and let them listen to the wonderful voice of Simon Callow reading the twits. And so you're not actually forcing them to read. You're not making it a chore.
Yeah.
You're making it something fun and that's just kind of happening informally in the house.
And tell me, you know, because there were people who are saying all that stuff about reading and books is really going to be out of date.
Yeah.
You know, that we're going to go electronically,
yeah,
we're going to get our information in a different way, we're going,
yeah,
to get our entertainment in a different way.
Yeah.
Where would you put
that? Well, I think children absolutely love technology as well. So I just think if there is any way that they are going to read a story, use it. So, for instance, I have used, you know, e-books at home with my child. I mean, once we were on holidays and we ran out of books to read. And so it was a brilliant way of downloading the book. And I know lots of people say to me, oh, that's terrible, that's terrible. But I think, so what? I mean, you know,
yeah,
we got to read a book and it was really good fun. It did get covered in sand, mind you. But anyway, you know.
Not good for it.
But I think that stories happen from very early on, even before you open a book. So if you're talking about 0 to 6 years, I mean, I think just chatting and talking and making up stories, walking down a road, talking about what you see, even with a little baby, you know, and using like little hand rhymes or nursery rhymes, fairy tales, all
clap
fantastic.
Handies, clap handies, clap handies.
Yeah, all that stuff.
That, yeah.
It's really good fun, you know. And then I have brought in some books just to show you, Marion, like the fantastic Judith Kerr, who wrote The Tiger Who Came to Tea. I mean, I remember giving this to somebody as a present for their little boy and she said, oh, it's terribly sexist because the big furry tiger comes for tea and Mummy and Sophie are at home and the tiger comes in and eats all the food and he even drinks daddy's beer, which is a terrible thing to happen. And daddy comes home and he saves the day and brings them to the cafe, them all to the cafe, not the tiger, but they buy a special tin of tiger food for the tiger at the end in case he returns again.
Right.
But Judith Kerr, she's fantastic. And an illustration at an early age is really important, I think. So getting books that children really love to look at, pop-up books, lift the flap books, soft books, tactile books, let them look at them when they're having their, you know, food in the morning. Who cares? I actually don't have any precious ideas about books. I think a lived-in book is a book that's well read. So,
right.
In fact, some of our books at home are covered in porridge and stuff like that.
Right.
You know, and then moving on to the older age groups, there are loads of people like Roald Dahl and Horrid Henry. Like, he came into our house, Francesca Simon, another great writer.
He's big, isn't he?
He's big. And I thought, you know, again, like that idea of you have to go with the interest of your child. Like, I thought, oh, Horrid Henry, he's horrid. But that is the whole point, he's horrid. And jokes are a great way of getting children to read, I think. If they're not, they're finding it, they're a bit reluctant about reading books, give them a joke book. Give them a joke like this Horrid Henry joke book, What Haircut Do Monsters Like? Deadlocks. And children think this is hilarious and there are tons of really good I'm now converted to Horrid Henry. But later on, like for the older age group, Francesca Simon is such a versatile writer. She's just brought out this really good book called The Lost Gods. And humour is so important for children. I think this is up for the Guardian children's book this year. And I think it's going to be announced in the next couple of weeks. But the gods, the Viking gods arrive on planet Earth and they're on the Millennium Bridge in London going, it is I, Woden, the father of battles, god of inspiration. And then somebody coming by says, oh gods, the hippie brigade are on Thursday morning. Bow, we are your gods. Two girls jogging by began to giggle. Move, you're blocking the bridge. Weirdos, snapped another. Go home, bloody foreigners. The three gods looked at one another. Thor's mouth gaped open. So it's so imaginative and funny that the gods would arrive on Earth and the, you know, the chaos that's going to happen. So that is, I mean, I've been talking to a few people before coming on air who are involved in children's books and stuff. And a teacher yesterday was telling me that don't be afraid to challenge a child either. And a book like The Boy in the Striped Pyjamas by John Boyne. Really.
What age would you?
Like, so that would probably be 9 to 12 year olds. Again, it depends on the child. And if it is a reluctant child, this particular teacher was saying reading out loud to the class is a fantastic way. And that there is actually humour in a story, which is basically about a 9-year-old boy whose father has become a commandant in a concentration camp. And the little boy at the fence that he keeps encountering in the striped pyjamas, which, you know, a lot, again, of parents might shy away from, approaching their child with a book like this. And when I say approaching... we also have to, I think, trust our children, because there is a lot of tiger parenting goes on where we all feel we have to control our children. Children need to be, I suppose, given the freedom to choose what they would like to read. And that is really, I think, the key to a child
it's
becoming confident.
To whet the appetite.
Yeah. And that leave them off in libraries and bookshops. Let them go to, you know, a stall in a book fair and let them choose what they would like.
And, right. You know, and how will this, what's going to happen this month to make it a special month?
I think it would be really good if anyone's interested to just look up the CBI website at Children's Books Ireland and just find out what's going on, because there's actually, honestly, Marion, so many things going on. You know, we could be here all day mentioning them.
Right.
But fantastic events going on. So that is probably the best. For also, I have to say, nothing beats a child actually meeting a real author. My next door neighbour once revealed to me that she actually met Roald Dahl, and I was so jealous. So I think linking into the Writers in Schools scheme and getting authors to come to your school is also great.
Great. Okay, listen, we're going to have to leave it there. That was Enda Wiley, and thank you very much. And we will put her book suggestions up on the website for the different age groups. But that's all we've time for today. Today's programme was produced by Rachel Graham. Researchers are Susan O'Loughlin and Elaine Carraher. And the series producer is Anne Farrell. Back with you tomorrow, 11 to 1. Until then, from all of us here, a very good day to you.